welcome to The Choice, episode 16, The Whiteness Conspiracy Theory, The Economics of Whiteness, part 5. What white privilege can look like if we end white Christian tolerance. Now, this is to help people understand why they'll never succeed in devolving this country into either a socialist, meaning underclass, or globalist, upper-class experiment in failure. That failure's continued, and we are keenly aware of our difference in this country and how we're going to need to prevent repeating that failure. Furthermore, we need to try to repeat the we won't tolerate the repetition of the failure of the Bolshevik revolutions that caused the decline of Germany and Russia, or the continued Bolshevik revolutions that were present throughout the 60s and still failed. Point one, America, the third way, a middle-class civilization. Our ancestors founded this country as a third way, a middle-class civilization for the emergent middle class, free of the priesthood, or today's intellectuals, and free of the aristocracy, meaning bureaucrats, and free of the parasitic underclass, the peasantry. It was meant to be a country of pure, puritanical, Germanic, manorial meritocracy. They recruited people of good character. They didn't know the word eugenics at the time. They knew about the breeding of animals and maintaining herds, and they knew humans were no different from any other domesticated animal. They sought people of good breeding, in today's language, people who were sufficiently evolved to participate in an evolved civilization, and that they possessed sufficient agency to do no harm so that they had the opportunity to do good. The success of our country was the product of leaving behind all three kinds of dead weight, the state, the priesthood, and the peasantry, to build a purely middle-class society of continued prosperity, because it was the middle class in the ancient world and the middle class in the late medieval world and the middle class in the modern world that has dragged mankind kicking and screaming out of ignorance and poverty by our hard work. Point two, the continuation of 5,000 years of European civilization. That middle-class civilization was a continuation of the trend within the greater Germanic civilization to apply manorialism, as the Romans and Greeks and early Europeans had applied slavery, as a means for the domestication of man like the animals he had domesticated. You had to earn by demonstrated ability your, quote, freedom, by evidence you did no harm to on one hand and invested in the commons on the other. In other words, that you were self-sufficient and you were productive and you would do no harm to others. In a world of scarcity, that is what's necessary. The de-Germanizing of history is part of our history. But the history of Europe until the Industrial Revolution is the history of the Holy Roman Empire of the greater Germanic peoples, which was not holy nor Roman and not an empire, but was an alliance of states under our common Germanic, Indo-European, or less favorably Aryan law of sovereign men. From settlement to founding and through the Industrial Revolution, the USA, like England, was a Germanic civilization, with Germanic language and Germanic law. It wasn't until after the French Revolution and the French destruction of the Holy Roman Empire that the French Napoleonic law of states was imposed upon the Germanic peoples of the continent. This preservation of Germanic law among the Anglosphere and the loss of that Germanic law on the continent due to the Napoleonic terrors is the reason for the separation of Anglo and Germanic civilizations. At that point, around the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, Germanic and Anglo civilizations began to diverge because of the French conquest or the French Catholic attempt at creating a monopoly empire across Europe. But until that point, the settlers and founders were part of the Germanic or Germano-Scandinavian civilization. And the original settlement, the Declaration, and the Constitution all reflect that Germanic origin as a collection of microstates unified like the United Kingdom and the Holy Roman Empire or the Austro-Hungarian Empire, as a collection of microstates with a central government limited to war and the resolution of differences between those sovereign states. It was the Civil War over control of the Western expansion, then the Spanish War to exit Europe from the hemisphere, and the massive underclass immigration through the 1920s to populate the territories that changed the American experiment from one of a continued Germanic one to a French authoritarian one. Number three, you weren't oppressed, oppression versus domestication. Western man didn't oppress other peoples, we domesticated animals, and we haven't finished the job. The ending of the imperial period by the world wars resulted in our failure to finish the job of dragging humanity kicking and screaming all the way out of superstition, ignorance, hard labor, poverty, starvation, disease, suffering, child mortality, early death, political failure, and the vicissitudes of a nature hostile to man. One thing I don't emphasize enough, and I should more, is that Western Europeans stumbled upon, discovered, adapted to, and applied the laws of the universe. And so Western civilization is least divergent from that universe, and that is why we evolve fastest, and one of the reasons we've evolved fastest is because we observe the evolutionary laws of the universe as well, which is the domestication of man by removing the unfit from the herd. So instead, we use the remains of the British Empire and access to American and Western markets to do the job indirectly at a profit that we had once done by direct rule at a loss through colonization. Point four, white privilege. No, it's non-parasitic absolutism. The perpetuation of our ancient tradition of domesticating the animal man for fun and profit, and for the benefit of not just ourselves, but of all humanity. As others have stated frequently, either the Greeks or the Romans would have hit the Industrial Revolution were it not for the importation of slaves, the disruption and migration their slaving caused, and the wars against them for their slaving. But if you want to see white privilege, we can restore it quite easily. Because, very clearly, others don't want to conform to Anglo-Saxon Norman absolutism under which our ancestors in the Old World and in the New founded the Anglo-Saxon Norman civilization we live under. Anglo-Saxon Norman absolutism consists of absolute scientific truth, meaning testimony, especially military reporting, the absolute sacredness of the commons and mandatory contribution to it at every opportunity, absolute self-reliance, meaning non-parasitism, the absolute nuclear family, meaning reproductive non-parasitism, absolute family self-reliance, meaning non-parasitism on the society, absolute rule of law of reciprocity, which enforces that non-parasitism across the spectrum, and absolute limitations on government interference and all of the above, prohibiting state parasitism. So that's what we practice in Western civilization, is non-parasitic or anti-parasitic absolutism. We practice the rule of law. Part 5. You leftists are, scientifically speaking, the problem for mankind, for human evolution, and for human destiny. Our restoration of Aristotle, the subsequent reharmonization of European thought and our traditions, and the literacy that resulted from it, the empirical revolution that dragged us out of the first Jewish counter-enlightenment of Abrahamism, consisting of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, and the dark ages that they created helped us recover from those dark ages. The Jewish and atheist critics of Christianity failed to grasp that we Germanicized an evil Semitic cult of rebellion against the natural eugenics of more advanced civilizations and integrated it as a means of making the common people tolerate that process of their domestication by making doing no harm, ensuring one another, exhaustively forgiving one another, and ending familialism and tribalism as a virtuous good, completely contrary to human experience. Where all other religions, especially Judaism and Islam, and perhaps Buddhism, are revolts against the natural eugenics of advanced civilizations, against reason, against science, and against markets, with the Hindus the only people to maintain an ancient religion, while at the same time solving the problems of dysgenia with caste, creating the world's best and most numerous upper class, which the world is just getting a chance to know, and that upper class is held down, as always, by a vast, untrainable underclass. There is no difference between Old World Semitic rebellion against the evolutionary velocity by adaptation of market eugenic civilization, by the use of expertise Semitic civilization developed by their institution of lying by storytelling, suspension of disbelief, and social construction to undermine competitors' group cohesion and incorporate that strategy into a new religion that made false and unwarrantable promises of freedom from logical, physical, natural, and evolutionary laws, meaning, in its totality, natural selection, when the Semitic people were as much or more than a standard deviation behind. So Marxism and Neo-Marxism, or cultural Marxism, are pseudoscience, and postmodernism, its denial and sophistry. Feminism is denial of family as the minimum unit of eugenic reproductive, social, political, and economic order, and the necessary compromise between the sexes, given the alternatives that produce regression and collapse. HBD denial is just denial of dysgenics and the need for continuation of natural selection to preserve the equilibrium between technology and biology. And wokeness is just a rebellion by the dysgenic intuition of the largely female cognitive bias, including the feminized and undesirable males. So we are too tolerant. We knew that the Jews were behind the Immigration Act, working as usual behind a white face, and that we would lose our culture if allowed hordes of inferior peoples into the polity, when every polity already has some minority of inferiors, and we had ours, from the massive immigration during the Roaring Twenties, and followed by those from the war. But the combination of the Jewish pursuit of media, the first television pictures of what industrial war was really like, the use of McNamara's morons that made it worse, the Jewish anti-war movement, and the generational transition from war children to 50s children raised under the artificial prosperity that lifted peasants for the first time from the farm, followed by the Black Rights Movement, followed by the capture of women by the combination of feminism and the pill that made possible enough votes because of the defection of white women to the left. As white Christian males, we remained optimistic that inferior peoples would learn, but they didn't, and this is us falling for our own mythology. And by the end of the 1960s, the Jewish Bolshevik movement had achieved here in the States what they had just prior to revolution in Russia. But it would take science until the current decade to counter this sophistry, pseudoscience, and lies of the Jewish post-war movement to deny the laws of the universe by promising the underclass that those laws were white oppression, rather than the means by which whites built the advanced civilization that tolerated their genetic and cultural inferiority, but rendered them more prosperous than any time in history. We would have survived the second Jewish counter-enlightenment against Western civilization, consisting of the usual suspects: Marxism, Neo-Marxism, Socialism, Feminism, Postmodernism, HBD denialism, the system attack, wokeism, and the systemic attack on our Constitution using the vulnerability of the court and Constitution, and now they're using Semitic Islamism, if it weren't for immigration. Even today, the entire country votes conservative if only white males voted. When conservative means rule of law, continuing the domestication of man and the tremendous gains that have resulted from it. So you the left, are the only obstacle to completing the restoration of Western civilization from the sequence of feminine counter-empiricism, German secular religiosity, Russian authoritarianism, Jewish pseudoscience, sophism, denial, deceit, and systemic undermining of harmony between the classes and the genders, and now Islamic fundamentalism's worldwide race to the bottom, continuing their 1,500 years of destroying the accumulated genetic, cultural, institution, and knowledge capital of every civilization of the ancient world. So let's talk about what 14 planks of restoration. So first, leftism, whether Jewish, Christian, Muslim, Abrahamic, or religious revolts against their betters, or the modern generation of Marxism, Socialism, Neo-Marxism, Cultural Marxism, Postmodernism, which is relativism, HBD denial, anti-male feminism, and wokeness, the oppression narrative, and the whiteness criticism are all made possible by superior civilizations extending opportunity to inferior civilizations because we practice market civilization in which all have the right to self-determination if and only if they pay the subsequent cost of integration, conformity, contribution to and defense of the commons, demonstrations of loyalty, self-sufficiency, and reproductive control. Inferior peoples are unsettled by the asymmetric returns of market civilizations to status, even if it produces increasingly indifferent means of consumption, for those who regulate their reproduction and consumption to their production, meaning those who continue natural selection. Those are the people who benefit. Those who don't continue natural selection don't benefit. Whiteness, meaning European civilization, is overly tolerant without sufficiently policing the nonconformity, disloyalty, sedition, undermining, and criticizing of our order, the order that is adherence to physical, natural, and evolutionary laws, by those who were unfit for participation in it, and those using the bureaucracy, academy, finance, media, church, and state to parasitically prey upon the rest, repeating the destruction of the ancient world. We falsely and foolishly expect people to do so without first limiting the immigration of those capable of conforming to middle-class norms, habits, tradition, education, work ethic, truth before face, non-corruption, and non-parasitism. Because of the success of tolerance, because under rule of law our state is weak, because prices are lowered by immigrants and financial expansion increased, and the working classes suffer, the inferior peoples ally with the disabused peoples and create a rebellion against the laws of nature, the markets as an extension of the laws of nature, and the natural eugenics of the market, under the pretense that they are oppressed, rather than that, on the one hand, they are unfit, and on the other, that the state bureaucracy, financial sector, media, entertainment, and commercial sectors are preying upon the laboring, working, and middle classes. This shared interest creates theological, ideological, or philosophical movements that fail to address or to correct problems, and instead, they seek to double down on them at the expense of the majority middle class and upper middle class and advanced civilizations, despite that the middle class is necessary for it. This is what we see with George Soros as the example of Jewish globalist movement seeking to use financial extraction before states discover that, like China, that the state on behalf of the people is due all consumer interest and that all non-state consumer interest is parasitism and predation upon the people, and that they use the proceeds of it to buy off politicians, agitators, influences at all levels of our civilization, and they convert well-meaning Christian women, naturally politically incompetent due to female instincts when in the absence of cognitive and emotional load of having their own children, and together this convergence of common interest forms a revolt. The result is a counter-reaction by the good, productive, loyalty-confirming, genetically superior, yes, they are genetically superior by their demonstrated evidence, people who try to save the nation, society, and good people from the bad, and do so with the only means that is possible, which is the organized application of brutal violence, in which a very small number of men are thousands of times more effective than leftist mobs. The degree of their suppression of the left, their degree of their culling of the population, the institutions and organizations, and the bloodshed that results is determined by the degree of offense and threat that these men feel from the left. This is a normal cycle of civilizations that can only be stopped by continuous regulation of reproduction, preventing the accumulation of unfitness that makes continuous adaptation and innovation sufficient to maintain prosperity and harmony under market adversarialism and the direction of proceeds to capital in the form of unconsumable commons instead of expansion of the underclass. This great mistake, or the great mistake, was the suppression of the eugenics movement because of the Nazis. Every civilization has purged peoples. The Muslims use murder and taxes. The Europeans tend to expel. The Africans just killed them off. The Hindus are unconquerable. And the Jewish cause insurrection from within. And we can end that forever with a reformation of our law to prohibit the false promises baiting people into hazard, especially those false promises of the freedom from the laws of nature and nature's God. 7. The presumptions of democracy. The leftist, Marxist, communist, leftist, progressives. Progressive means hyper-consumption. Conservative means capitalization. Hyper-consumption and expansion of the bottom of the herd. Capitalism and expansion of the top. The leftist, Marxist, communist, socialist, cognitive female, and eugenics, they don't understand what white privilege looks like, or how good it would be for white people, and frankly lesser people, and the world at large, to exercise their justifiable privileges. Let's look at some of the privileges white people practicing whiteness, in other words, adherence to the laws of the universe, extend to unfit people, and how easily extension of those privileges could be taken away by a few men who are just about ready to give up any solution other than civil war that will make the horrors of the communists pale. Hitler wasn't near as responsible for deaths as were the Jews, Russians, Chinese, and Cambodians, but he was in a world of industrial warfare where people could still return to the farm. We live in a world of post-industrial warfare where that's not at all possible. So let's look at these choices. Number one, the composition of the electorate, meaning who can vote, is arbitrary and can be changed arbitrarily. A universal franchise isn't a given. We can easily restore the original criteria for the franchise of white Christian property-owning males. Two, citizenship. Citizenship means who's insured by the state apparatus. Well, that insurance is arbitrary and can be revoked arbitrarily. Citizenship isn't a given. We can revoke all citizenship, for example, under the 1965 Immigration Act, withdraw all benefits, and deport you and all family descended from the original invasion. Three, asylum, meaning aliens from both allies and enemies whose countries, governments, cultures, and peoples have failed, is arbitrary and can be revoked arbitrarily. We can revoke the asylum policies, laws, and treaties, and wall off our country as have wisely East Asians. Number four, residency, meaning aliens from both allies and enemies whose countries, governments, cultures, and peoples have failed to compete for your existence, is arbitrary and can be revoked arbitrarily. We can revoke your residency and deport you with ease. We have in the past. It's easy to do again. All we would have to do is pay people to do the work, and we would create an entire industry of deportation by a vast number of men who are happily engaged in that occupation. Number five, workforce participation, meaning your ability to compete with our people in the workplace and earn an income from participation in our marketplace and all of its benefits. Well, that's arbitrary and can be revoked arbitrarily. We can revoke your ability to work and punish heavily anyone who employs you, rents you a room, apartment, or apartment, gives you shelter, or even sells you food. Number six, state workforce participation, meaning it's terribly easy to convert to an ethno-state with ethnic and religious requirement for employment in loyalty industries, including the military, the state, the government, the police, the sheriffs, the emergency services, medicine, strategic industry, education, research, finance, truck licenses, and business licenses. This has opened up millions of jobs for the white people who are frustrated by their declining quality of living, by the oversaturation of our people, by underclass immigration that drives down prices at their expense. So again, this would open up millions of jobs for white people who are invested in maintaining the European group strategy that has dragged mankind out of ignorance, poverty, and still tries to drag it out of dysgenia against the left's contrivances. Number six, redistribution of benefits, meaning your access to services, subsidies, welfare, unemployment, healthcare, retirement benefits that are gained by stealing them from our hardworking people are arbitrary and can be revoked arbitrarily. We can end those benefits and your access to the banking and wire transfer system. Number seven, deportation, meaning any of the above who are undesirable because they don't fully integrate into our civilization. Well, frankly, it's easy. Americans have deported millions before and could have even deported all the slaves and ex-slaves. Deporting 10, 20, 50, or 100 million is simply another industrial effort like any other, and it's easily accomplished. Number eight, to create offense by intent, concentration camps, meaning isolation camps for any above who must be forcibly repatriated, are easy to build. We've done it before. We can do it again. Aliens in conflict with the continuation of our civilization and our race have overridden any Western guilt for the German experience, and the Palestinians have only further justified it. Nine, privilege, meaning our attempt to integrate you into our civilization so that you can obtain the same benefits of a high trust polity as we have is earned. If you don't have it, you fail to earn it. Certainly, easily East Asians have fully integrated and earned it. Well, so what would war to bring this about look like? Now, because people are fairly ignorant of such things and tend to live in the moment and are maleducated in the 20th century, I'll take a moment to educate you on the days of Napoleonic War and how they disappeared with the First World War. That the days of European domestication of war ended with the Cold War. That today's fourth generation warfare resulted from the end of the European domestication of warfare. That armies today cannot fight and win a fourth generation war against people on their own territory, especially if they aren't willing to cause collateral damages. They can't win in even tiny primitive place like Afghanistan. There are only a few hundred thousand men available for the military to field. More than them, half of them won't do it, and even if they did, they would either join the suppression of the left or at least resist in place. If it comes to conflict, our policy solutions will be far more attractive than the left's attempts to spread Abrahamism, whether supernatural or communist, yet again. All that's required is that we generate sufficient conflict such that the future is uncertain, so that we have an opportunity to have the discussion among our people. If we have the discussion under the confidence that we can no longer live together, then we can separate peacefully by political means and cooperate peacefully by trade. And so there are enough of us unwilling to let the progressive left win, the hyper-consuming dysgenics, and we are willing to cause conflict on a scale not seen in human history, that bringing about those conditions for settlement is easy. And from there, we can have an honest discourse, if honest discourse is ever even possible with the left, that is by definition a large system of lying and denying to escape the laws of the universe. Number 9, you may not rule. So if you want the benefits of Western civilization, all you really have to do is conform and pay the costs of Western civilization. If you are incapable of that, then you may come to us for your rule and care, and we'll provide it. But you can't have political voice. You can have juridical offense and the benefits, but you can't have political voice. If you come to us for your rule, we'll happily send people there to rule you in our own defense. And we'll happily finish the job of domesticating you and your fellow not-so-domesticated humans into fully civilized humans. If you're already among us and you can't tolerate our rule, then we can separate and return to speciation as our group's desire. If you cannot or will not separate, and you won't limit your war against us with your population, religion, culture, and political competition, then we will happily pay the price of returning to ruling you and your home people, and completing the job of domesticating the animal man into humans capable of existence without harm to those of us who are domesticated. We can finish the colonial project. But we will not ourselves lose the benefits of Western civilization for ourselves and our posterity by permitting you to rule us because you are incapable of doing so by the demonstrated evidence of your violation of and failure to adhere to the laws of the universe. We are and have been since our origins the greatest warriors in human history. War of conquest is profitable. Ruling people for profit is profitable. It's more profitable than cooperation. Cooperation is just peaceful. But we can only cooperate peacefully under reciprocity, and you will not tolerate the cost of reciprocity. So this is what our privilege grants us, the opportunity to do worse to you than you have done to us by your non-integration. Exercising our natural abilities is what would make white privilege exist, because by exercising those abilities, we would bring our real privilege into existence, privilege which we have granted to you, but you fail to pay for. Point 10, revolution comes, renaissance follows, destiny results. I'm Kurt Doolittle for the Propertarian Institute. Thank you for listening.